Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the weekly podcast of Friends Church, a spiritual community that's based out of Calgary, Canada. We're a church for people who don't easily fit in traditional churches, but we're very committed to a spirituality that will change our world. Look, my name is Jeff. I'm one of the pastors here, and I am thrilled that you're tuning in today. Just before we get into the message, though, I wanted to mention that Friends Church depends heavily on the donations of both our local and our online community. People like you who don't download our podcasts and find value in the messages that we put out every week. Sometimes people will ask me, you know, I don't know, how much do people donate anyways? And I'll often tell them, you know, some will support us like a Netflix membership, you know, maybe 15, 20 bucks a month. Others will support us much like their gym membership, maybe 60 to 100 bucks a month. And of course, there's always those who can and do give much more. But there's never been any prescribed amount. It's just people giving what they can because they believe in Friends Church and want to get involved in helping us do what we do. So if you're tuning in and you're finding value in our podcasts and aren't currently supporting us, would you be willing to? It's really easy. Just go to friendschurch.ca/donate and you can get set up in seconds. Regardless though of whether you can support us financially or not, we just want you to know that we're thrilled you're tuning in. Okay, let's jump into this week's message. Enjoy.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Vince. I want to take you guys back about 15 years in Friends Church. We had office space in Silver Springs, and we had a little boardroom, and we all as a staff were sitting around a whiteboard. As one of our founding pastors, Jeff's one of our founding pastors, we had another one. He stands up in front of the entire staff, and he says, asks us this question. Who would care if Friends Church closed down tomorrow? We're all staff at the church. We're all like, he's like, okay, get you. Think deeper. And I'm like, well, what about our community who thinks like Friends Church is of value to their life and it is meaningful and it's moving their spiritual journey along? He's like, okay. Go further than that. What about the people on Sunday morning who can't find a parking spot because we've taken them all? What do you think they would feel if Friends Church went away? Hadn't thought about them. What about the people who are feeling the not connected to Friends Church, who maybe came to Friends Church, but we're like, no, you don't fit Friends Church. How do they feel? What if Friends Church went away? Would they feel like, hey, look, I'm okay again? Well, that kind of felt gross. What about the people on the outside who are being here, takes resources away from them and away from their life? I was like, what kind of a stupid staff meeting is this anyways? Who comes up with this kind of a question? And yet, I think this is the question we all need to ask. What would happen to the world around us if Friends Church went away? We have a story from that time. Jeff told it yesterday. I'm going to tell it again today. It's a metaphor. There's a man who finds a well on his property. The well's full of water, of course. And the water flows out of the well. And what you see around the well is there's a well and there's green that just grows from the well. Water, grass, trees, flowers, because my wife's a florist. Of course there's flowers. Lots and lots of flowers. Bougainvillea. Everywhere you can see green. Everyone around that well, life better, things going better. They can grow crops, they can feed their families. Just everything is lush and vibrant and beautiful. The well owner got called away from work. So he said to the people in the area, hey, you take care of the well while I'm gone. Remember, the well brought life to everything. But then something happened. Jeff talked about it last week. The people in charge were going, well, wait a second. What happens if we get low on water? How will I water my property? How will I get water? Those people, they're coming from miles away. Like, we're right next to the well. We should get, like, more priority here, right? And if this water ever runs away, what about I? This is all about me. And so they did what humans do. They built a wall around the well. They made a list. Who gets access to the well? Who is out? Very quickly, the world changed. Inside that wall, beautiful, lush, green trees, flowers. People were thriving. But if you looked outside, within a season, it went from lush and green to dead. Plants not growing. People thirsty, dying of thirst. Desolation. It's kind of an ugly story, isn't it? It's a story of a world and a spirituality that asks the question, what's in it for me? When Friend Church was asking the question, what would happen if Friend Church left? We were focused on what happens to us inside of this wall. Because isn't that the common denominator of traditional churches? It's probably two groups of people here today listening to me. Some of you are maybe two bumps in a statistical curve, since we're not black and white people. The people who grew up inside a wall and the people who've always been outside the wall. But regardless if you grew up inside the wall or outside the wall, you know one thing. There is a wall and there's a series of rules of who gets to be in and who gets to be out. Believe the wrong thing, out. Say the wrong thing, out. Love the wrong person, out. Two years ago, I was sitting with some members of our community, Sean and his partner, Ken. I said, homosexuality is not an issue anymore, right? There's no such thing as a wall around a church that cares about homosexuality, right? I'd rather you not laugh out loud at me, please. Because that's what they did. They said, Vince, you're an idiot. And I'm like, seriously? This is... Oh. They both sat right here and told us how they were part of a walled community and they were inside. They were in the oasis until they realized they loved the wrong gender. And the group said, out. You are no longer welcome inside these walls. I still remember Ken. He had the most open limbic system. Just the pain of getting kicked out. It's been 20 years, he still feels it. And I look through the LGBT community, I see so much pain. And it doesn't matter. For some people, it's you love the wrong gender. Some people, for me, it was I asked the wrong questions. We don't ask those questions inside this wall. Okay, but what about, no. But really, the Bible, no. You're out. I know some of you didn't even leave because you didn't fit. Someone you love didn't fit. Dave Hill sat up here, told a story about his son. His son got kicked out of the well. You no longer fit inside the wall. You're out. No water for you. And as a father, to see his son kicked out, he had to follow. The people I love aren't welcome here. I can't be here anymore. Jeff has talked about loving people so dearly in his life who couldn't fit inside the walls, and he's like, I don't know what to do. I can't be in here. He followed people out. The common denominator is these walls. Every wall, though, seems a little bit different. Some of them say this, some of them say that. Okay, you need to believe this one, you need to believe that one. But that's the common piece, right? There's a list of who is in, who gets water, and who is out. For those of us, maybe I'm projecting here. I grew up in the walls. Getting kicked out has a certain pain to it, doesn't it? For all of you who experienced the in and now experience the out, you know that feeling. It feels like it had been easier to never know what community felt like. Some of us stayed outside the walls, wondering maybe they'll open the gates, maybe they'll change the rules, maybe I can fit again. Some took off and just like, okay, screw you guys. I'm gonna go find something else. And some, we call them, jumped off the cliff. I'm done with spirituality. I'm done with you a-holes. I am done. The walls limit water. It keeps the water for the people who are in, and there's a list of people who are out, and if you're out, nothing for you. The landowner heard about the wall. What in the world? That was not my intention. The water was for everyone. Everyone. He sent his son back. Like, what in the world? Check out what's going on. Son shows up where the well is, and he's looking. He's walking through a desert. He's like, no. This was not how the land looked. This used to be beautiful and green and full of life. Walking through a desert. People dying of thirst. He got to the walls. He was like, bangs on the door. He's like, what do you want? He's like, my dad owns this property. They let him in and he started to talk about what the well was always meant to be. The water had always been meant for everyone. Everyone. You know what? Hold on. You guys wonder why we put this up every day or every week? Welcome. All sizes, all colors, all cultures, all orientations, all beliefs, all religions, all types, all people safe here. This is Dave's. He understood. The walls keep people out, and the water was meant for everyone. The son comes back in. This is not what my father had in mind for this. Thanks, Jeff. This is not. And he started to go to the well, and he grabbed a bucket, and he filled the bucket up with water, and he walked out the door, past all of the green, to the entrance of the thing, to where everyone was dying of thirst, just outside the walls, and he started to take water. This is where we get the line, taking water. Anybody, you're thirsty? Great, here's some. You need something? Here's some. You need some water? Here's some. He went back over and over again. People started going, wait, what's going on? I want to be a part of this. This is beautiful. And slowly they watched the green, the life, spread out again from that well. They got together and they kicked down the walls. Screw this. The water was for everyone. I had a buddy. We used to go snowboarding together. We lived in a little Honda Civic on the road. We had a lot of time driving to all these different mountain resorts to go snowboarding. And I still remember one, I think it's in Idaho, but don't quote me. His name was Tim. I said, "Hey, buddy, I know you moved to the town we grew up in, Morden. I knew you moved to Morden in grade 6, but where did you live before then?" Casual question. He's like, "Vince, I was born in Morden. I lived there my whole life." I was like, "No, you did not. You only moved in grade 6. I remember it." And he said a line that has stuck with me ever since. He said, "Oh, Vince, I joined your church in grade 6. I didn't even know he existed. I was so inside those walls. I didn't even see the world. People dying of thirst, didn't see them. People not welcome, didn't see them. Inside the walls, it was beautiful. It was an oasis. I still remember, I had two friends. One of them lost a parent to a motor vehicle accident. The other one lost a parent to divorce. Our family adopted them. I grew up with them like they were my brothers and sisters. Inside the walls was beautiful. If you fit inside, we took care of you. We didn't even see the people outside. That's what the walls do." Jeff told a story about a friend of his. Smuggles Bibles into Russia. How crazy is that story, huh? The guy gets this idea that the Russian people need Bibles, and so he like goes underground and smuggles them in, like at risk of like great cost to himself, great effort. He could go to jail for this. It's Russia, I don't know. Can you get shot for smuggling in Bibles? Is that a thing, Jeff? Yeah. It's not good. He pulls into this town, people are like, "Oh, like these things have got to be full of something amazing." The guy goes outside, like this is probably like years of work on his side. Goes to the back of the truck, opens up the boxes of Bible, starts handing them out. He's like, you could just see him like in his heart, he's like, "I am a rock star. I'm like Oprah, like Bible for you, Bible for you, Bible for you." But he can tell something's not right. One of the ladies, she's speaking in another language, and she's not happy, that he can tell. So he grabs one of the drivers and he's like, "Hey, what's she saying?" She's saying, "My children can't eat your Bibles." It's easy to be uncharitable to this guy. What the hell is he thinking? I see somebody who's lived his life inside the walls. And inside the walls of his faith community, having a Bible was the most beautiful thing you could get. And so he just assumed, because again, he's like me, he doesn't even see over the wall. He doesn't even see the people there. Of course they'll love Bibles. We love Bibles. I'll bring Bibles. They'll all be happy. And when he gets there, it's like it's the first time he's looked over the wall and seen how dark it is over there. "My children can't eat your Bibles. Vince, you only figured out I existed when I joined your church." I bet you that guy had a gut punch like he's never experienced before. "I thought I was doing something good, but I completely missed it." You know, over the years, even way back when we were sitting in that boardroom, If Friends Church goes away, who will care? We thought, let's make a new Friends Church. You know what we did? We just built a new set of walls. They were cool walls because I fit inside them again. Just so you know, if you get to make your own walls, make sure you fit inside the walls. We painted them great colors. We had murals. We had great music. It was wicked. Until we realized what we were doing. We were just doing the same thing over and over again. And the question that our founding pastor was asking us is, who outside the walls will care if Friend Church goes away? And we realized, none of them. Because we didn't matter to them. We were bringing Bibles to people who were starving. We had that gut punch moment too. Here's a team of people who've given everything to build this community. And we realized we're no better. Do you know that there's approximately 47,000 walled communities called denominations in the world right now? 47,000 different walls. Some of them saying God's like this. Some of them saying God's like that. Some of them saying you need to believe this. Some of them saying you need to believe that. Some of them saying you're welcome if you're like this, but not if you're like that. 47,000 times we've tried this. Don't worry, 47,001, we'll definitely get it right. I have some addict friends who are always like that. A million times it goes wrong, but the million and one, it's going to work. The son says, my father never meant for the well to be limited. My father meant for this water to bless the world. That's what we'd screwed up. Can you throw up the motto for me, Esmond? We've been talking about this motto the last little while, right? I, them, we. You know what I realized this week? A lot of our faith communities are just I with a few more people in it. People like me, who look like me, who believe like me, but we don't care about any of them. Worse, we don't even see them. What's the new way forward? Before we go there, let me finish the story. And the story was designed to make sure we never forgot. Man finds a well, brings life to everyone. Bunch of people like me build walls around it. The water's for us and not for you, in whatever combination. Son comes back, says, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't care how nice your walls are. I don't care the color you paint them. I don't care the music you're playing. This water was never meant for just you. It was meant for everyone. And he started to grab water and take water into the world. And slowly everyone was like, yeah, there's something beautiful about this. Who cares if Friend Church goes away? No one, when we're all about us. When we buy socks for somebody who probably will never know the name of, you know who will care when Friend Church goes away? That person. Because we made their life better. Because we realized that their pain is our pain. We don't bring them a Bible because they have no socks. You can't put a Bible on your feet, Vince. We bring them socks because we are together. When we take the walls down, we are a spring of water for everyone. Now that's what the sun did, carrying water to everybody. And suddenly the land grew green again. Not suddenly, Over time, the land grew green again. As far as you could see, green. And the people like me got scared again. What if we run out of water? What about I? They had the son murdered. The water isn't for everybody. The water's for us. Screw them. Ooh, I'm getting a little bit passionate, huh? Let me get off my soapbox there for a second. Attaboy, I know. The water's for everyone. They had him killed. Instead of walls, they built a castle around that well. Something that never could be taken down. The story is a cautionary tale for us. It's a commitment. It's something that I encourage you to find for yourself in this story. Because the story ends with this line, we will not be a community of wall builders. We will be a church that takes water to the world, to everyone. This whole wall building thing is a bit tricky, isn't it? Growing up, I actually thought wall building was religion. Knowing what your wall was, defending your wall, that's the whole point of this thing. Knowing that, you know, I could throw a whole bunch of pre-trib, post-millennial, blah, 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 inerrant, inclusive, universal. Like there's language, there's, it's all wall building. I thought that was the point. Chances are you thought that was the point. When I say something like, we have a conception of God, instead of saying God is, what I'm doing is I'm showing the walls. In my old journey, here's the way we'd work. We'd say, God is, that's a wall. If you don't believe God is that, you're not welcome here. Well, then we come and build new walls. We say, oh, no, no, that guy got God wrong. Don't listen to him. He's stupid. God's this. It's just a new wall. At Friend Church, what we realize is these walls just constantly keep water inside. And so we do two things. We are constantly trying to deconstruct the walls so that the water is never held inside. The water is for everyone. If you say, hey, my wall is there's a heaven, and if I do A, B, and C, I'm going to get to heaven, and I'm going to be in a good place for all eternity. That's the wall. You're not focused on anyone else. You're not looking over the wall going, hey, who's out there? You're going, no, I need to, okay, say the prayer. No, not love that person. Okay, what do I need to do? Donate that much? Tell me what I need to do. Get me into heaven. And Friend Church says, no. I don't know if there's a heaven or hell. That's wall shit. Pardon my French. I can tell you this, though. I can make a bunch of decisions that make the people on the other side of that wall make it hell for them. That I can do for sure. And so we constantly are chopping down the wall at Friend Church. Heaven, hell? Okay, kick that down. Not because it's wrong. Not because it's not valuable, but because it might limit water from going to the world. If you want to hold it inside, great. If that's your well, great. But if it's holding, okay, wait. We can't take the water to those people. Those people are... No. We do not build walls here at Friend Church. We take water to the world. In fact, there's not even a difference. Even this language of I and they, no. We feel the pain of the world and we do something to fix the pain of the world. That's what taking water means. What we realized is there's not a single well there that some pastor has it all figured out. No, no. It's like there's a well inside of each of us. And when we take down the walls, it's like this well fills us up and it can flow out. And we start looking around. Hey, you need socks? Great. I'll get you socks. You need a welcome? Hey, hi. My name is Vince. How's it going? You need like whatever. The separation between I and they goes away and we start getting we and we go, no, 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 your pain is my pain. If you can't fit in here, I will take the water over to you. What do you need? Now, some of you have come to Friends Church. You're going, oh, Vince, this well metaphor, water, I love this, but I am thirsty. My life has been hard. Maybe you're in a time when there's just you need a lot of water. You got young kids, you're finishing a degree, you're starting a new business. Where's Bryce? Solo entrepreneur. I live with one. That's a busy job. And you're going, my life takes lots of water. And we honor that. And we say, here's our commitment to you. Not only will we help you take down the walls that separate you from them and create a we will also do this. We will help you become healthy. So you use the water you need, but only as much as you need, not because you're living in unhealth and dysfunction. We'll teach you how to soothe yourself. We'll teach you how to relate to other people. We'll teach you how to recharge yourself so that you're not just freaking drinking water and peeing it out. Because that's kind of how it feels, right? Like, I can't get enough. When we're healthy, it's like the water's just flowing out. We're looking around. Hey, who needs water? What do you got? What do you got? Person at the grocery store. Oh, you need me to help you move your stuff? No problem. Neighbor, I know you're a complete jerk, but you know what? I can see you. Somebody on the other side of the world who needs food. We just did this fundraiser for the school in Africa. It's like $10 to feed 100 girls to go to school, and they get tea. I'm a big fan of tea, so I was like all over that one. Water flows out of us. If you're at the place where you're not there yet, I get it. Our commitment to you is we will keep working on you to help you create health, to help you work through your triggers, to help you deal with your trauma, so that the water starts to flow out of you. And you're just looking for people. You know, we thought we were all fancy. We have this cast on the well story. We figured it all out. You know, in that infinite arrogance. Till you look back to our spiritual ancestors. Jesus has got this great story. It's kind of like a myth that he's saying. He's like, at the end of time, all humans that ever existed will be put into a big area. And he said, there's this great power, he calls it the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days will come and split us up. You, that group, okay, you're in this group, two groups. This group, splits us up. And he says, you will be blessed. And everyone in that group's going, looking around, going like, okay, we have different genders, we have different sexual orientations, we got different religions, we got... Why us? And the Ancient of Days says this. Can you throw up from Yasmin? He says, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you took care of me. When I was isolated, you visited me. And everyone in the group says, I don't remember doing that. I don't remember that. And then the Ancient of Days says this line. When you did it for anyone, even the least of these, you were doing it for me. When you didn't have walls between you and the world around you, when the person who is the most thirsty, you walked, oh geez, I get all emotional on this crap. The people are in a hospital. The lonely people. For the least of these, you did it for me. You didn't live with walls. You didn't see the in and out. There was no list. There's the water's for us and not for them. No, no, no. You just saw the world and said, we're taking water to these people because they are us. And the Ancient of Days says, you will be blessed. And you. You will burn forever. And of course, we all in that group said, what did I do? Look at us. We're everybody. And if we saw that you needed these things, we would have brought this to you. And he said, no. You had walls. You didn't even see me. I was thirsty, you brought me nothing. I was hungry, you brought me a frickin' Bible. I needed love, and you told me how wrong I was. I needed comfort, and you kicked me out. You will burn. Friend, church will not build walls. We will take water to the world. I get to get on my soapbox now and again when it's talking about water, right? We've all seen walls. We've been kicked out of walled places. Maybe we never got in the first place. We know what it feels like. We know what it feels like to go, there's water in there and there's none out here. If you're part of Friend Church, I want you to consider taking this pledge. I will not build walls around the well. I will bring water to my world. I will be a blessing. I will make the world around me green. Not because it will get me into heaven or some shit like that, because that is what I think my spiritual journey is about. It's for everyone. Friend Church, we will be ruthless. We will be a-hole sometimes. We will deconstruct the stuff that we go, no, this is getting in the way of the water getting to the world. Whatever that is, we will tear that down. It's not going to be pretty. I don't like it when it gets torn down. I don't like ripping it out of me. Sometimes I don't even see it until I hit my foot on it. I'm like, oh, there's a wall block again. I thought I had that dealt with. Oh, no. We will take that down. We will talk about conceptions of God. We will talk not about heaven and hell on the afterlife. We'll talk about heaven and hell right here and right now. And we will do everything we can to make you the healthiest human being you can so that you can take water. In fact, you will not even see the difference between you and the people around you. You will be there and you will be a blessing to them. And the entire world will be green because of you. That is our commitment to you. And that is my invitation to you. May we all be people who take water to the world. Amen. Have a great week, everybody.